Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of 12th Apostolic Sabbath Congregation of the 12th Down Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 23, 2017, or it is 8/1/2021. We will start our second service on this new moon Sabbath with a song entitled, He Leadeth Me. Blessed God, words with heavenly comfort from. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, yours hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he me. His faithful Father would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Some kind exchange of deepest gloom, sometimes when Eden flowers bloom, the water still for troubles see. Yet is his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower of me, but by his hand he leadeth me. I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content forever, Lord, I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in a distant way that will not flee, since your true Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower would be, by his hand he leadeth me.
Prophecies of the Daniel Revelation, Part 9, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 144. By eating of the forbidden fruit, Adam broke the health laws. And by so doing, he also indirectly broke the Ten Commandment law. For by transgressing Yahweh's word, he dishonored him as his son, who had dishonored his earthly father by disobedience, and thereby breaking the fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12. Therefore, Adam is guilty of violating two laws, for Lucifer broke only one, the Ten Commandment law, for he ate nothing that Elohim had forbidden. Adam's transgression brought him to the grave, dust. For after eating of the forbidden fruit, it reacted on his physical being, and thus the evil passed from father to son. But as Lucifer had not transgressed the law of health, natural death had no power over him. Adam, by the obedience unto the provision made for his redemption, accepting the remedy, shall be made alive by the resurrection. To Lucifer, for rejecting the same privilege and deceiving the human family, Yahweh said, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Isaiah 14:15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. I will destroy the old covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquity, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. He shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Ezekiel 28:15, 16, 18, and 19. There is a lesson here that is worth our consideration. That the sinner places his finger on his sin by disobeying Yahweh's word in any form, you are breaking one or more of his eternal laws. This is your final opportunity to either accept or reject salvation. Mercy is knocking at the door for the last time. Will you, brother, will you, sister, give your heart unto Yahweh? For the reader's attention is again called unto the chart, the double track passing by Abel and around the cross shows that the Sabbath and the sanctuary truths are eternal and divine, and that the recognition of their sacredness had never been thrown out from the Church of Yahweh until after 508 A.D., at which time the goat with his great horn cast down the truth to the ground. But in the year of 1844, Yahweh's truth by the power of the three angels' messages was again brought to light. It is evident that the Sabbath and the sanctuary, the law and the gospel, are inseparable. If you have been disobedient unto Yahweh's word in any form, well, you're now at the last call. Call Yahweh here, and here I am. Take my stony heart and give me a heart of flesh. Will you speak? And he writes his law in your heart. The angel is waiting to seal you with the seal of Yahweh. Will you choose darkness rather than light? As the angel is lighting the earth with his glory, will you let him lighten your heart? Yet a little while and Yahweh's truth shall triumph. Why should you remain behind? Will you stubbornly worship like Cain with a religion that cannot save? Will you dishonor the Savior who died for you and honor the adversary and enemy of your soul? Why should you perish in just a little while in the dark millennium? Follow the chart. Will you be ready? And Yahshua comes to take your sins to the mansions above. Take notice that the keeping of the truth is the train to the city of Yahweh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12:13. The 1290 and 1335 days, years, relative to the daily and the sanctuary of Daniel 12:11 and 12 are now understood as a for the first time. This being the time in which they are revealed, it is evident that we are dealing with the present truth. Therefore the scripture must be speaking directly unto us at this very time. Thus both the cursing and the blessing of this chapter apply unto this generation, and we are granted the privilege of choosing either the one or the other. It is necessary that we comment first on the 10th verse of Daniel 12, for it brings out the fact that at the time the scripture is revealed, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Therefore it is necessary that we repent from all sin and separate ourselves from every false way, thus having our vision clear so that we can understand. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. The name Michael means he is like Yahweh. Yahshua is the image, express image of the Father, and the great prince of his people. Thus, the title signifies Yahshua. At this time, Yahshua, Michael, shall stand up for his people, and everyone that shall be delivered, who is found written in the book. Thus, Elohim's people need not fear in a time of trouble. That's if your name is written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, come to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel 12:2. It will be noticed that the resurrection foretold in this scripture is mixed. Some are of the righteous, while others are of the wicked. Therefore, this is a special resurrection, and independent of the one referred to in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For it plainly says, Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. But it actually says Yahshua. Let's go with the Father on this. Let's see what happens. For the Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of the Yahweh. And the dead in the Yahshua shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Yahshua in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Yahshua. We shall meet the John also makes it clear that the righteous only are called forth at the coming of the Yahweh, for he says, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. Revelation 20:6. Consequently, the next resurrection must precede the one at the coming of Yahshua in the cloud. Those who awake to everlasting contempt must be those who pierced Yahshua, thus fulfilling the following scripture: Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, Revelation 1:7. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever, Daniel 12:3. They who are wise are the ones who shall understand, and they shall turn many to righteousness. Thus they shall shine as the stars forever and ever. These are not those who were resurrected in the special resurrection, for it would be after the close of probation and about the end of the seventh plague, just shortly before the coming of the Yahshua. Thus, the resurrected one would have no chance to turn any unto righteousness. Therefore, those who shall shine as the stars are the 144,000, and all who shall have a part in the closing work of the Yahshua. Think of the glorious promise. Is there anything like it in all the world? What can you compare with the celestial bliss in the presence of the Yahweh? Life everlasting, without pain or tears. See Revelation 7:17 and Isaiah 11:6-7 and Isaiah 65:25. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, Daniel 12:4. What plainer evidence could we ask to convince us that this is the time of the end, has knowledge been increased? Are many running to and fro? While Daniel does not tell how the running is accomplished, Nahum does, for the chariots shall be with the flaming torches in the day of his preparation. For the chariots, automobiles shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightning. Nahum 2, 3, and 4. For the prophecy being understood, it is evident that the book is unsealed and that the time of the end is upon us. And I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said unto the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time and times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12, 5 to 7. The question was asked, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? The answer is, that it shall be for a time, 1 year, times 2 years, and a half time, half year. 30 days to a month, 12 months to a year equals 1260 prophetic days or years. The prophetic period points back to the papal supremacy and the persecution of the Yahweh's people from 538 to 1798. See Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 12:6, verse 14 and Revelation 13:5. For the end of the long prophetic period in which the papacy scattered the power of the holy people is in the past by 130 years. The angel declared, in this time all these things shall be finished. Does not all this prove that we are on the verge of eternity? Will you, brother, will you, sister, join yourselves with the righteousness of Yahshua, or will you wait a little longer until after the harvest is past? Someone shall utter the following words. In the great disappointment, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. Shall you or shall I? And I heard but understood not, then I said, O my Yahweh, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So the time of the end finally arrived at the Passover 2002. This is when this book was unsealed of Daniel that we're reading about right now. It was unsealed to the house of David. All the books of the book of seven seals is unsealed, because when the seventh seal was unsealed to us, at the same time this book of Daniel was unsealed unto us also. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And we know the time of the end began at the beginning of the 12th hour, 2002, Kermit, Texas. That's when judgment starts the house of Yahweh. At the beginning of the time of the end, when the 11th hour closed out and the 12th hour began, right in between those two evenings, from the evening of the 11th hour to the evening of the 12th hour, between those two evenings, you had the closing out of the 11th hour, probatic time, closing out the judgment of the dead and opening up the book of the seven seals and the judgment of the living and the book of Daniel and the Revelation has all been opened up now. We are now free to have understanding of all that we read. Daniel 12:8-9, are they closed now? If not, then it is not. This the time to which the prophet refers? Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh unto the 1,305 days, Daniel 12:12. The beast 666, false prophet, mother of harlot. Man of Sin. Okay, this is in our next subject matter. We're on page 148, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2. I'll read that title again. At the beast 666, false prophet, mother of harlots, man of sin, who are they? The mystical number 666 of the beast in Revelation 13:18, as applied unto the papacy, proves to be unscriptural as well as unreasonable. While the numerical letters of the title of the Pope bears the number 666, there are many other titles as well as names of individuals who bear the same number. By simply computing the numerical value of letters in a title or name, we find it fits many. Hence, we must look for the biblical proof to make the application. Except we thus prove the idea, it would be improper and unfair to apply the symbol to any one individual. The idea concerning the symbolical application of the false prophet of Revelation 19:20, the woman on the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17, the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13, the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17, and the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, as being symbols of the papacy, is unbiblical and also illogical. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. And he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13:11-18. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13:14. For the beast spoken of here is the one with the lamb-like horn. But someone else is introduced by the pronoun he, who had power to do miracles in the sight of the beast, the lamb-like. The following scripture will make clear who it is that performs the miracles. And the beast is taken with him, the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, before the two-horned beast, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20. Therefore the miracles are wrought by the false prophet in the sight of the two-horned beast. There are many beasts spoken of in the Bible, but this two-horned beast is the only one that can be termed a man. It will be noticed that from the 11th verse on of the 13th chapter of Revelation, the scripture speaks of the two-horned beast and closes with the words, for it is the number of a man, and its number is 666. Therefore, the mystical number 666 belongs unto the two-horned beast, and none other. However, we may not conclude that no one before it could have such a number. The idea that the papacy is called the beast is altogether wrong. The papacy is represented by a symbol on two different beasts. First, on the nondescript beast of Daniel 7 by the little horn, having eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Second, on the leopard-like of Revelation 13 by the head that was wounded to death. These beasts are universal, representing the entire world in their time, both civil and religious. Therefore, it could not be said of either beast, it is a man. The papacy, being only a part of both beasts, horn head on one and simply a wounded head on the other, cannot be called the beast. The two-horned beast is the only one representing a local religio-political government. Therefore, of him alone can it be said, it is a man. Thus, whosoever shall stand at the head of that persecuting power as described in this chapter and represented by the beast is the one who shall bear the mystical number 666. For the spirit of prophecy also states that the king of the north brought to view in Daniel 11:45 and the two-horned beast of Revelation 13 is the same power, and that it shall bear this mystical number 666. Okay, who is the king of the north? That is the Roman Catholic Church. That is the Pope, is the king of the north. You can trace it all the way back to Alexander and to those four generals that came up after Alexander died, that came up and took over the kingdom of Greece. And one of those horns represented the Roman power, pagan Rome. Represented that fourth beast that Daniel saw in his vision, the nondescript beast at the cross. And so that's what we're dealing with today. This power is the last that treads down the true church of the Yahweh, and as the true church is still trodden down and cast out by all Christendom, so what's the true church? Seventh-day Adventist is the true church, and who has taken over the Seventh-day Adventist church? The Jesuits are the head of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, the ruling body for the Seventh-day Adventists. And they have completely trodden the sanctuary truth down underfoot. Never allowed it to arise in the Catholic and the Adventist Church. Because the Adventists went to sleep and let those Catholics infiltrate them, and they kept the sanctuary from being restored to its rightful order. That's the reason why Yahweh had to have daughters of Jerusalem to branch off like the shepherd rod in 1930. But Vicky Holliff called a daughter of Zion, and had a Brother Johnson branch off in 1970 called another daughter of Zion. And Brother Johnson restored the complete sanctuary system with the creation calendar back to its rightful order and put it into operation with all the statutes and judgments and all the additional holy days that goes with the Sabbath and all of the statutes and judgments and the sacred name and the daily. He restored all of that. At the Catholic Church, that's what they took over the Adventist Church for, was to keep that information suppressed and never come to fulfillment. But Yahweh had to break off daughters of Zion in order to bring that truth to the light, outside of the Jesuits running the Adventist Church. It follows that the last oppressive power has not come to his end, and Michael has not stood up. This last power that treads down the saints is brought to view in Revelation 13:11-18. Now, V.T. Oliver is writing this book in about 1931-32, the Shepherd Rod that I'm reading from. So, that's what V.T. Oliver was talking about back then. That's been many, many, many years ago. That's been almost 90 years ago. Okay, the last prayer treads down to saints is brought to you in Revelation 13, 11 to 18. His number is 666, a word to the little flock. Patriarchs and Prophets 8 and 9. We have proved the truth of the number one way, and now we shall prove it in another. The destruction of the beast and the prophet. The destruction of both the false prophet and the beast is clearly foretold, and it is in the scriptures of Revelation 19:20, and 21. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:20 and 21. Their final end is accomplished by being cast alive into a lake of fire. But the rest of the world, the remnant, were all slain with the sword which proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. For the lake of fire into which the beast and the false prophet are cast cannot be at the coming of Yahshua and the clouds, for the wicked are not destroyed by the fire at that time, but with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. The beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire after the sixth plague, and I wish that Leakey Holliff and Ellen G. White never put that in there in their writing, because that just kind of throws the curve here. In other words, we're saying that you're going to have to wait till the outpouring of the plague before you can have this beast of false prophet destroyed. And when we have been told, and we have come to understand, that the seven last plagues are poured out after probation closes for the world. Okay. But the prophecies shows that the beast and the false prophet are cast in a lake of fire as a type of judgment upon the wicked that takes place at the end of the millennium. And this is a type. So this would have to be during probationary time as well, here in this 12th parabolic hour, that this beast and the false prophet are cast in a lake of fire. Because if it's after the sixth plague is poured out, well then, and it may be that's the way it's going to work out, but as far as we need to understand that before probation closes, the wicked that are alive, that are fighting against Yahweh's church, they are destroyed. They're being destroyed today as we speak. They're destroyed by the thousands every day, even as we speak, and we're in the 12th parabolic hour, and probation haven't even had harvest yet of the first fruits or the second fruits. We haven't even come into the harvest yet of the world, and yet we got the wicked are being destroyed by the thousands every day, right before our eyes, fulfilling this prophecy of Revelation 19. And after the wicked are all completely destroyed, then yeah, you're going to take the beast and the false prophet and deceive them, and going to cast them into a lake of fire. And then they're going to have the remnant that's left after their cast of lake of fire. It's going to be destroyed of the wicked and cleaned up all. You go read down Matthew 24, where it says, he maketh the earth empty and turns it upside down and destroys the inhabitants thereof, because they have broken the everlasting covenant. Okay? So it says that this destruction of the remnant, those that were left after the destruction of the beast, and the prophet is not after the millennium. No, it's before the millennium, during this 12th parabolic hour and the probationary time. For the wicked at that time are not destroyed by the sword that proceedeth out of mouth, but by the fire that came down from Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them. Revelation 20 verse 9. After the millennium and the destruction of the wicked, no living creature will eat another. See Isaiah 11, 6 to 9. Hence, the beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of fire burning before the millennium, and that lake of fire becomes the type of the destruction of the wicked on the other side of the millennium. The second death for the final destruction of the entire multitude is described in the following words. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. Thus the world would be given an ensample before the millennium of the destruction after 1,000 years had ended. This example of the beast and the false prophet is to show that all the wicked, all will be thrown alive into a lake of fire, and that is the second death. Speaking of the everlasting ruin of the devil, the word says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Revelation 20 verse 10. That is, the beast and the false prophet do not come up in the second resurrection, exemplifying that there is no resurrection from the second death. Again, we see there is a type for every event, and let none despise types. For where there is no type, there is no truth. The number 666 is further proven by the destruction of the man of sin. Mark carefully according unto the following testimony. The destruction of the papacy is at another time and by a different process. Paul states plainly that the man of sin will continue until the second advent. Until the very close of the time, he will carry forward his work of the deception, the Great Controversy, page 579. Thus, the papacy is to remain to the second coming of Yeshua, at which time the wicked are to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Therefore, the papacy is one thing and the false prophet another, and the beast still another. The beast 666 and the false prophet, who are to be cast alive into the lake of fire, are the ones who develop the image of the beast, a likeness of the worship in the period of the 1260 years. The time of that wholesale deception is at hand. It will take more than great knowledge of the theology to escape the most powerful trap His Satanic Majesty has ever devised. The wonderful miracles will be convincing, and the apparently genuine spirit of worship will bring deep conviction upon those who are subject to being misled. As the great men of the world declare its worship true, multitudes will accept their decisions without personal investigation. Add to all of these the following declaration of the civil authorities. As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed, and we have an overwhelming power which human strength cannot resist for a moment. Only by a prophetic knowledge of the truth, with the confidence in a thus saith the Yahweh, and in the power of His Spirit, can one escape the wildest snares of the devil. The mother of harlots, not the beast. It has been explained that the papacy would remain to the last. That the woman on the scarlet-tailed beast, Babylon the Great, comes to her end at a different time and in another way, she cannot be a symbol of the papacy as some have thought. Revelation 17, 16. Speaking of the woman, and the horns of the scarlet-colored beast said, and the 10 horns that thou sawest on the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Note, she is not cast into a lake of fire,
like the beast and the false prophet. But they, the horn, shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. Thus the woman's destruction is that at a different time and in another way from that of the papacy, the false prophet, and the beast. Since what has been said cannot be contradicted, it is evident the beast is one thing, the false prophet another, and the papacy another, and the woman still another. It is not of the great importance that these things be... It is of the great importance that these things be correctly understood, for by the knowledge of the truth only can Yahweh lead his people on to victory. The time of the woman's destruction. To determine the time of Babylon's woman's destruction, it will be necessary to refer to Daniel 7, 11, and 12. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, he has their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Concerning the rest of the beast, the lion, bear, and the leopard, their dominion was taken away, but they remained alive, while the nondescript beast came to his end. The beasts that remain alive represent the descendants of the three ancient empires. While their dominion is taken away, the inhabitants of beasts are here at the present time. The end of these beasts would mean the end of the world. The nondescript beast is not the last beast of this world's history, for he is followed by the leopard-like beast of the Revelation 13:1 and the scarlet-colored beast of Revelation 17:3. The latter is the last symbol of the historical event by which this present world and the one after the millennium shall be brought unto an end. As previously explained, therefore, the description of the nondescript beast is before the second coming of the Yahshua. If the lives of the three beasts before it were prolonged, their time cannot be extended beyond the second coming of the Yahshua, says the Daniel. Their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Alright, that season and time is 15 months. Okay, and we understand, or I have understood it, that to be the time of the seven last plagues poured out and probation has closed. When that season and time begins. Therefore, from the time the body of the nondescript beast is destroyed, there shall be a season and a time unto the end of this present world. If Daniel means year by time and a half year by the dividing of time, in the 25th verse of the same chapter, then he must mean the same in the 12th verse. If the interpretation holds good in one verse, it must be in the other. Therefore, time would be 1 year and a season, a fourth part of a year, thus making a total of 1 year and 3 months. However, the period in the 25th verse has a prophetic term of 1260 days a year. But the time in the 12th verse cannot be prophetic, for then it would mean 450 literal years. It is evident that from the time the beast is destroyed until the end, there will be 15 literal months. So the beast is destroyed, and then there is 15 literal months left for the duration of this world. It shall be noticed that the destruction of the beast is prophetic of the destruction of the woman. We quote the scriptures referring to both. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame, Daniel 7:11. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore,
and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:16. The destruction is alike of both beast and woman. Furthermore, it is the period under the symbol of the woman riding on the beast that makes an image of the leopard-like in his first stage before wounding, or of the nondescript beast in his second stage, for the 1260-year period was represented by both beasts. The image is a false religion internationally set up. So, the image is a false religion internationally set up, and that is the Muslim religion. That is your Muslim religion. And it was set up in 2001 at the 9/11, at the Twin Towers blow up in New York City. That was the inauguration of the image that was set up. So the image is a false religion internationally set up. Therefore, one is the likeness of the other. Thus, the destruction of the original nondescript beast is a prophecy of the destruction of the woman, and the destruction of the one is the destruction of the other. It prophetically signifies that the image woman riding on the beast, the union of that religio-political system, the union of that religio-political shall perish 15 months, season and time, before the remnant rests the world. Let it be remembered that Daniel's vision is a prophecy and the vision by John is a revelation. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is the prophecy, and the destruction of the woman is the fulfillment of the prophecy. The following scripture referring to the time the woman was destroyed says, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Yahshua our Savior, for true and righteous are his judgment, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servant at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Elohim that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our Elohim, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Revelation 19:1-5. The woman was destroyed, and her smoke ascended up forever and ever, while the elders and the beasts were before the throne. This proves that the judgment in the most holy apartment had not ceased, or at least the tribunal had not yet. So this means that this we're still in probationary time. So it says, has not yet. Let's read that again. Or at least the tribunal had not yet vacated the place of judgment, explained in another chapter. For after the saints are numbered and sealed, their sins blotted out in a aforesaid judgment, probation shall close, and the sanctuary where the judgment is held shall be vacated of the elders and the beast, as well as the Lamb, and of the entire angelic host. After which, that entire angelic host, folks, that's hundreds of millions of angels that are down here in on this judgment seat. They're the witnesses. They're the ones that keep records in the books for all of these that were being judged. After which, no man was able to enter the temple till the 7 last plagues were fulfilled. See Revelation 15:5-8. Thus it is clear that the woman was destroyed before the 7 last plagues were poured out. Main probation had closed, and the woman was destroyed, the beast was destroyed, the false prophet was destroyed, and then there was got rid of the leadership, and now you have the seven last plagues poured out upon all the remnant of the wicked that were left. According to Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Yahweh Elohim omnipotent reigneth, while Yahshua is in the sanctuary and the judgment in the progress. He does not reign, but is a priest and an advocate, blotting out the sins of the righteous. But when he is through with the investigative judgment, then he is crowned King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. Revelation 19:16. After the smoke of the woman rose up forever and ever, the heavenly host shouted, Hallelujah, for the Yahweh Elohim omnipotent has reigned. Therefore all the saints were judged. No, the Yahshua Messiah, the Son, omnipotent reigned. Therefore all the saints were judged prior to the destruction of the woman. And after she is burned with the fire, Yahshua is crowned King of the Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. Then the temple will be vacated and the seven last plagues poured out. Well, the following scriptures bear further evidence. Said the heavenly host, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of his Lamb is coming, his wife hath made herself ready. And unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Continue the angel, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from Elohim. Revelation 19:7-9. Revelation 21:9-10. Therefore, the Lamb's wife is the holy city. See, this is Ellen G. White's interpretation. So what they left out though was a preposition. That was the word in. So the wife is not the holy city. The wife is in the holy city. You put the preposition in there, and not the church. And those called to the marriage supper, the saints, are the guests. See the great controversy, page 427. See, he says a contradictory thing here. It says, therefore, the Lamb's wife is the holy city, meaning that it's the church. But he goes ahead and says, and not the church. But it's not the church, in other words, he said. But if he puts the preposition where it belongs, in the holy city, the Lamb's wife is in the holy city, and where the temple is at, see, the holy city is where the temple is at. And those called to the marriage supper, the same, are the guests. See the great controversy, page 427. They who were before the throne said of the new Jerusalem, his wife hath made herself ready. And unto her was granted unto the city, okay, that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Alright, let's do it again. His wife hath made herself ready. That means the purified congregation of the saints hath made herself ready. So it's the saints in the temple that represents the wife. And unto her was granted, unto the saints that represents the Lamb's wife in this holy city, that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, Revelation 19:7-8. Therefore, the Lamb's wife will be ready at the close of the probation when the saints are numbered
for they are her limb. And at the time of the woman, Babylon, was burned, for the saints' linen were ready. Registration shall be a signal that probation has closed. Then shall come that. Then shall be conscious of their doom and shall say, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 20. Others shall wonder from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the words of Yahweh and shall not find it. Amos 8:12. When Yahweh's people shall have ceased from their Elohim given word, their answer will be, we have nothing for you. The harvest is past. Salvation has ceased. You are too late. This brings the end of our studies this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Dusty Roses and the Feet by Elijah Davis. Man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads to you and me. Often cross, taken prone, careless, burdened, all along as he journeyed along that road to Calvary. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete from the manger to the cross. Through those golden streets to a place in Bethlehem where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and sandal feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast out demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads and the feet, all the journey was tempted from the manger to the cross. Through those golden streets to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. Author of the story, dusty roads and no feet. Dusty roads are his companion, desert places his abode. Sandal feet are often weary underneath the heavy load. Never complaining as he went along the way, on the way to Mount Calvary and the judgment day. Dusty roads and no feet, oh, the journey was complete from the manger to the cross. Through those golden streets to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and no feet. Dusty roses and no feet, how would you like to meet that man named Yahshua? Coming down your street, would you be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would you be like Jonah, wanted to be? Dusty roses and no feet, all the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, through those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and old feet.